Surprise, surprise, we're still in Psalms 89. Jim, we probably went 2-3 verses since you've been going. Maybe. This thing could last forever, so I'm going to zip through a bunch today just because, huh? If you all have something that's good, I've got some things, on some verses down the road here, but a lot of, from 17 to what? From 17 to 21. It's mostly talking about David, so we'll talk about David a little bit today. I know that whenever you talk about David, you're talking about us. I mean, everything that God supplies to David, he is supplying to us right now, and it's exciting, it's great. We'll talk about some of that, but I want to get to verse 22 today. That's something where there's probably going to be a couple of Bible studies on 22. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Jim, you want to get us started?
Praise the Lord. Just wait in your presence for a moment here this morning. Wait upon the Lord. Seems like we're always in a place of needing our strength renewed, Lord. A thought that just keeps going through my mind this morning, Lord, is we want to be known as we are known. We want to be known as how you perceive us, how you see us, how we look through your eyes, Father. Father, that's what these study classes are all about. Getting your point of view, not our point of view. We want to know what you're thinking this morning. We want to know what the Holy Spirit is thinking this morning. He dwells in each and every one of us here this morning. So we're going to listen intently, Lord, as this deep keeps crying out for the depths of God inside of us. Father, we thank you for the time and the energy and the faith of Rich and all the ministers in this place that are laying down their life, Lord. They might bring the bread of life to the body to encourage us, to enlarge the Christ inside of us and our understanding. But we don't give enough credit. A lot of times we take them too lightly. We don't understand, Lord, like you understand how they're nourishing our souls, Father. How they're encouraging the Son to come forth in us. How they're encouraging us every day, Lord, bit by bit, line upon line, and become more like you, Father. So we thank you, Father, for the ministers that are in this place, for the words that you've chosen to speak and bring through. We just give you all the glory this morning, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Okay, we had a good session with Brother Oscar last week, and so I'm going to just start with, this is kind of where we were finishing up, so we'll go ahead and just kind of start with 17. Let's read 17 to, let's see, 17 to 17 to 21. I'll go ahead and start reading it out of the expanded. I love that version. It's kind of like the message and the amplified all put into one, so I really do love the expanded. Okay, I'm going to read it in the expanded, and then we'll go back and someone else read it in another version. God bless you. Saw it coming. And then we're going to kind of take that as a whole, and we'll break it down anyway that the Lord sees fit to break it down. And then I've got a couple backup scriptures in Samuel and Acts. Bless you again. Okay. You are, verse 17, you are their glorious, beautiful strength. And in your kindness, favor, you honor our king. Lift up our horns, symbol of power and hear of the king. Our shield, the king, belongs to the Lord. Our king to the Holy One of Israel. I guess that word shield in the King James is defense, which is shield, buckler, protector, and to hedge about. God, just like in Job, God build hedges around us, you know? Keeps us protected. 19, once then in a vision, you spoke to those who worship you, your faithful ones, the saints. You said, I have given strength to, set help on a warrior. I have raised up a young man, chosen one from my people. And verse 20 says, I have found my servant David. I have appointed him by pouring holy oil on him. I have anointed him, it says, with holy oil. I will steady him with my hand and strengthen him with my arm. Like I said, everything he's done for David, he does for us. We just need to realize that and claim it in Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else want to read it in a different version, then we'll kind of break it down a little bit?
There's one thing I like to do.
Sure.
We start like at verse 17, and it says, for thou art the glory of their strength. I always like to go back and find out who is the there that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of, if it's something good, if I don't go back and make sure what they're talking about, I think what's talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something really bad, like I, you know, I break their necks or something like that, then I always think they're talking about anybody but me. So I always find it's a good idea to go back and find out who it is they're talking about. So when we started reading, I went back and it said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Wow. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day in the righteousness. Shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of thy strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant with my holy oil. I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm shall strengthen, also shall strengthen. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I went back and looked at this, I mean, it's not just people who have heard the joy. People who know the joyful sound, they know where it's coming from. It's welling up right within them. They know that joyful sound, and they're not going to take any substitute for it. I'm sorry, I just...
That's good. That's good.
This morning.
Isn't it interesting when it says that he was taken out from the people? I mean, look at your life. Look at all the people you've come in contact with over the years. All, I mean, it's just amazing. On the way into, church today, a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a couple of years sent me a picture of his of his first grandchild. And he's all proud and excited and all that. And it's just funny because back in the day, we would run together. There was another guy that he put in a group text. And back in the day, all three of us would run together. And now all three of us are born again believers. And in fact, before he got born again, I would talk to him and we'd talk about the Lord and whatever. Well, when he got baptized, he sent me the whole video of him getting baptized. So that just lets you know that he was really excited about it, that he wanted to share it, But anyway, how he pulled, you look at all the people, you look at even some of your family members now, we're in Wings, so most of the Bowlings and the Holdens and whatever, they're mostly saved, but some of the rest of us, there's unsaved people still in our family. Mm-hmm. But God, there's people that we still have friends that are unsaved. But God pulled us out of all that. He pulled us out. He had a divine plan for our life. You wouldn't be in this Bible study. Look at the people at Wings that don't even come to the Bible study to get, all this wonderful, information sitting around that the Lord has poured into each and every one of you that we share each and every Sunday. What a wonderful place to come and fellowship. And we don't even get a third of the church to come into this. So it's God has called you out of a group, whatever that group is, for such a time as this and for such a purpose as this. And that's what he did in David's situation. When Samuel went to Jesse's home, the last one that Jesse thought was going to get anointed for king was little old David out there with the sheep. He wasn't even in the house. They didn't even consider him. And God pulled him out of that household when all these other brothers may have looked to the natural eye to be more equipped, better equipped, and more qualified, and maybe better looking and whatever. And guess what? That oil wouldn't flow out of that horn until David came up. God stopped that anointing until David came up, and boy, that oil started to flow. And so I thought when you were reading that, I thought that was interesting how he pulled. Because when you really first read that in the natural, you say, well, that's Saul. The people wanted a king. So he pulled Saul out of the people and made him king just because they wanted to have a king. And he said, okay, I'll let you know. God will let you do some things sometimes, even though it may not be in his will, just to eventually come around to making his will appear and be performed in our lives. So, anyway.
Like you said, I think one other time last week or another time, you said something about, and I've said this before too, that Saul was anointed with a cruse of oil, David was anointed with a horn of oil. And, that's the difference between a man-made thing and a God-made thing. When God anoints you, it's his anointing. When man anoints you, it's man's anointing. And when the giants come along and you've got a man anointing on you, you're not going to stand up to them. You're going to cower back. You're going to run away. You're going to push somebody else out there. But when that godly anointing is on you, you're already a conqueror. You're already victorious. You're already, the fight's over, really, because the fight's really the Lord's. It's not yours.
That's right.
He's finished it. Was you going to read that out of the message?
I really, I got here. Yeah, go ahead.
Before you read that, the horn, as we've discussed before.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the word horn is power. Mm-hmm. There's a power and authority with that horn.
Right.
And the reason there's power and authority is the horn comes from a dead male sheep. Mm-hmm. So that male sheep had to give its life in order for that horn to be a vessel that God can use. Mm-hmm. okay? And so that horn not only represents, you know, that it was not man-made, that it wasn't, you know, cruise or a vessel that was man-made, but it's also, it's that power and authority that comes with that type of anointing. I mean, it's the only anointing of God. Any anointing has power and authority behind it from God, because that's what the anointing's for. It's to break the yokes. And so whatever yoke needs to be broken, that anointing can break it, wherever it is, whoever it's for. And that's really exciting. And so that horn has the power, whereas that man-made thing has absolutely no power to it at all. And you can see in the kingship of Saul, he got freaked out and upset when all the ladies were singing, you know, Saul kills his thousands and David kills his 10,000s. You know, it's like, well, how dare, I'm the king. I mean, that pride, that root of pride, just started just coming up. And from that point on, he wanted to kill David because he was jealous and David was taking his thunder.
Well, like we said last week, the word horn also is translated as coronet. And a coronet is a trumpet. And a trumpet talks about a message. It's something that God's going to bring forth, a message. And also, we were looking at it, and if you go on down in the definitions, it has the word in there, ray, like a ray of light. Mm-hmm. And I told you guys last week that when Moses went up on the mount of up on the mount with God, and he got the Ten Commandments, and he came down, and it said his face shone, and it's the same word. It comes from the same root word. Rays of light were coming out of him because he'd been in the presence of God. And they actually had to put a veil over his face, you know, and he would take the veil off when he went in before God, and when he came out, he put the veil back on. And, you know, I've heard different sermons about that part of why he wore the veil, because the glory was a decreasing glory, you know. And the glory that he's given to us, he said, Father, the glory you've given me, I've given it to them. And there's going to come a time when the glory of God is going to so break out of you that people are going to just fall down and say, God's in you of a certainty, you know. And he does that even sometimes as we're ministering to people, you know. I've heard people say that when you're speaking sometimes that, you know, one of the greatest compliments I think I ever got from anybody when I spoke one time, I was at the mission. And Buzzy had brought one of his friends from work. And, you know, I shared what the Lord had given me to share down there. And Buzzy told me later on, he says, Oscar, he said, that guy said that when he was up there speaking, it was like Jesus was up there speaking. And I said, well, Jesus was up there speaking. If I was sharing his word, I mean, you know what I mean. And see, the thing about it is that glory, God's going to do a glorious thing. That horn is going to be exalted because it's him that he's that's being exalted. You know, it's not really us. It'll be the glory in us, but it's still all about him and what he's doing inside of us, you know.
You know, so I was just sitting there looking at these scriptures. It says, in your name they will rejoice.
Yeah.
And then the next scripture says, for you are the glory of their strength.
Yeah.
And the other scripture says, for our shield belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And then it goes on down and says, I mean, I will beat down his foes before his face. I will set his hand in control also of the season. I mean, everything is about what I will do, what the Lord's going to do. When I looked at that, therefore our shield belongs to the Lord, I thought of Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about lift up over all the covering shield of faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. But even that, our shield is the Lord. I mean, it's all about him. Anyway, you got it.
Won't you just read that 17 on down? I can do it if you got it.
Sure.
This is out of the Message. I like this. It doesn't really say the horn here, but I like what it says. And the message that says, your vibrant beauty has gotten inside us. You've been so good to us, we're walking on air. I tell you what, if you get in the glory of God, and you really get in and it gets awesome in His presence, you feel like you're walking on air. I'm telling you, it's about as euphoric a feeling as you can have when His presence really gets very, very strong. And it says, and all that we have we owe to God, the Holy One of Israel, our King. A long time ago you spoke in a vision, and you spoke of your faithful beloved. I have crowned a hero. I have chosen the best that I could find it. And you know what? You didn't choose God. He chose you. And He chose you to be a hero in Him. And the way you're going to be a hero in Him is by allowing His presence to come out of you. And by exalting and lifting Him up, you know. And it says, I have chosen the best I could find. And you know, when He looks at you, He says, that's my best. That's my best. Although you don't feel like you're the best most of the time, you feel like, well, boy, I'm not very good, you know.
I think He's talking about the new creation.
He is. But you know what?
Yes.
We're that. And He sees us complete in Christ. We don't see ourselves complete yet. But He sees us.
That's why it says, uncounted all joy.
Yeah.
And you know, I like that. But that's that 19th verse, it says, I've crowned a hero. Mm. I've chosen the best I could find, you know. Mm. And He chose you, and you're His best. That's like when, you know, different times I've told you, I used to say to Jennifer all the time, you're my favorite daughter. And she'd say, Dad, I'm your only daughter. I said, well, you're still my favorite daughter. You know, but you're His favorite. When He looks at you, you're His favorite. And your favor, God's favor is upon you.
Let us be known as we are known. Let us be known as we are known.
And you know, when you were saying that about when you walk on air, which is, that song came to me. The things of this earth were strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
That's true.
To dwell in that. You know, every once in a while you taste a little bit of it because God will give you the grace, you know, to let go of things of this earth. Somehow, we are still in the place where we let it go and take it back and let it go and take it back. But, wow, when we let it go, the things of this earth, the resentments, the pull, the tug, you know, the fleshiness, they grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
That's where our will comes in, I think.
Yes, it will.
Because I think we can walk in that. We can practice walking in the presence of God, or we can choose to go the other direction and please the flesh. There was a good book Brother Lawrence wrote on practicing the presence of God. Yeah. And everything he did, he recognized.
That book is in his computer here. Yeah. I've got a lot of reference books, but that book's actually in there. Yeah.
Great book. Yeah.
Great book. Yeah. Practice the presence of God.
Interesting on this horn, in Job, the lexicon here, the Hebrew Chaldean lexicon, says that in Job 16:25 it says there is a similar metaphor of in the following in Job 16:25. I have put my horn in the dust. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Dust. Where we in our in the usage of our language would say my head, on which is the highest honor and glory.
And even if you look at what the scripture says, he knows our fame, that we're what?
Dust.
Yes. So he's put his glory in this dust.
I know.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he means. Yeah, that's tremendous,
yep.
You know.
Stuff.
I tell you, you could go into that and probably stay into that, talking about his glory and his horn and stuff like that. You could probably stay into that for weeks and weeks. I mean, because it's just a wonderful thing.
We have, 3 weeks.
Yeah, quite, yeah. You can stay there weeks and weeks more.
I know, but no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, but well, it's wonderful what the Lord's doing. I mean, he's doing some wonderful things. It's almost too wonderful for us, you know what I mean? Because we can't really grasp it all at this point, but we're starting to. We're starting to see it. Yeah.
Well, this is interesting in Acts 13. I'll try to, I'm not going to paraphrase much because it's all. Anyway, after this, God, it's Acts 13, I think it's 20. But anyway, it says, after this, God gave them judges, you know, going down the history from Abraham on down until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, son of Kish. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a king for 40 years. 40 years. Kind of tested. It's a generation, too. After Saul was from, after God took him away, God made David, raised up David as their king. God said about him, I have found in David, son of Jesse, the kind of man I want, a man whose heart is like mine. He will do or accomplish all that I want him to do, my will. For God has brought Jesus, one of David's descendants, the seed, to Israel to be its savior, as he promised. Before Jesus came, John the Baptist preached to all the people of Israel about a baptism of changed hearts and lives, repentance. When he was finishing his work, his mission, he said, who do you think I am? I'm not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed king from David's lineage. He is coming later, and I am not worthy to untie his sandals. A gesture of subservience fit for a slave. So, you know, you look, God had it all planned out. It was just, you know, Saul wasn't a king for 41 years or 39 years. It was 40 years, you know. John came first to prepare the way and was a humble man that said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals, much less be the one. And when Jesus came down into the Jordan, he says, you should be baptizing me, basically. I'm not worthy, you know, but that was John's mission in life. That's what he was called to do.
You know, did you ever think about the situation with David where, you know, Saul was king and David was anointed? Actually, he had three different anointings, you know. And that really talks about the three different realms that we go through, you know, basic salvation and then anointing as kings and priests unto God, and then ultimately the Holy of Holies. But, you know, he first was anointed of Samuel, and then later on he was anointed again. But, you know, during all the time that Saul persecuted him, he said, I'll not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Even though he knew that Saul had been anointed really more by the people than by God. And you know, it's one of those things where that just goes to show you that how much he believed in the sovereignty of God, you know, how much he was in submission to even what God had said over him, even though he knew it was something that wasn't right, you know what I mean? And, you know, wow, what a tremendous, you can tell he did have a heart after God, you know? He knew God was in control. A lot of Christians would have put up their hands and give it up and said, oh my God, they're persecuting me. God, you don't love me. I'm going.
Where's God in this?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I love the stories of David. It's just tremendous, tremendous.
Amen. anybody else have anything? We'll go to Psalm 89:22. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And the expanded says, no enemy will make him give forced payments to make him pay tribute or prevail over or outwit him. And wicked people will not defeat, afflict, or humble him. That word enemy is what you would think it would be. You know, something hostile to you. Someone that's out to get you. Is wickedness, is injustice, unrighteousness, wrong, to turn away, to distort.
Sounds like the old man.
It sure is. It's that bestial nature, you know. Everybody's looking, not everybody, not us for sure, but there's so many Christians out there that calling the beast this and the Antichrist this, and how many, in your lifetime, how many Antichrists have been called out? Dozens.
Many.
And never does any of them come back and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I repent. Lord, I missed it. You know, I thought you told me that Gorbachev was the Antichrist. You know?
Yeah, because he had that wine spot on his head. It looked like a dragon.
And it was red.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
I'm going to give you all the money back that you spent on my books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know, and I would you love to hear him say that?
You know, some of you heard this, but I, you know, God is amazing, and it's like Clarice Fluitt who says that he'll let you believe anything you feel like you need to believe to find a way to get you to
where he wants you to be.
Yes, yes. And so, wow, you know, God's dealing with me. I never walked an aisle to get saved. I wasn't in church. I cannot tell you the day I got saved. I was listening to the radio to this guy that was leading Satanists to the Lord. And it was more of a train wreck. You know, when you see a car wreck and you rubberneck. And I was like just amazed that, wait a minute, is this set up? Is this, you know, this can't be real. And then I would listen. And I mean, all the things back in that day that I listened to and the story I'm about to tell you, I wouldn't have anything to do with it now. But at that time, it, you know, it was
stirring something in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, where you kind of enticed you or whatever, because it, so anyway, I'm in St. Louis Airport, and they're remodeling it. This was 30 years ago or whatever, and you know, I got a layover for 2 hours, and I'm like cussing my secretary saying, what the heck is she get a layover at 10 o'clock in the morning in St. Louis? Like, that's really what I want to do with my next 2 hours. So they had this bookstore that was just, I mean, they were still messing with it. I mean, it was all brand new, remodeled and whatever. And I'm walking through the bookstore, and I'm going to go to the sports section. Well, I walk by the Christian section, and I see this book, and I walked by it. I went on to the sports section. Nothing in the sports section looked good, so I just was going to leave the store, and I came back, and I looked over, and I saw this book called, you know, <Yeah. laughs> The Rapture by Hal Lindsey. I still have that book just because I laugh every time I see it, because it's like, so, you know, I read this, and I mean, I didn't go to the bar that night. I mean, I was in my room reading that book for two nights in a row. Wow. After I finally got to where I was going.
Praise God.
And I was reading that book. It was like I couldn't put it down because I'm thinking, okay, so we're all going to just float up in the, you know, which of course now I know the spiritual meaning of the rapture, not that any of you believe in it. If any of you believe in a physical, you keep believing until God tells you otherwise, or he may not. So I'm going to go if there is a rapture compared to, you know, what they're saying. But the bottom line of the whole thing was this: God was using that vehicle to get my attention. It was titillating or whatever, that's the word I think, because I was like intrigued by, wow, this, I'd never heard that before, you know? And so he used that to get me to where I am today. And it's just so funny that some of the things that we looked at back then, he used.
That's the reason why it's really kind of hard to sit and criticize.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can.
God uses it.
All the foolishness of man.
Yeah.
He uses it. So.
Yeah.
I remember one time years ago, Bill Britton was here, and he kind of preached a sermon, and he was talking about that he was going to be on this TV show out there, and he said they had all these different ministers, and he said that when he knew that a lot of those guys were like shysters, you know. I mean, he said he knew it, and he said, I thought, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to expose them guys, you know. And he said, the Lord said, leave them alone. And we don't know how God interworks, like you say with that book. I mean, you know, God will reach out and grab a hold of you with whatever can get your attention with, you know what I mean? And then later on, he has to kind of wean you away from that stuff, you know. But he knows what he's doing, buddy, and a lot of times we just don't understand. But Hal Lindsey, he's written so many books.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a story that Lynn Howes told about Benny Hinn's brother. Mm-hmm. That he was coming down and said, I need $10,000 to show up. And, you know, if you can guarantee me that, then I'll come down. And they said, well, normally we just, through that two-day period of time, whatever we collect, it's a big church, whatever we collect, we give to the person. I want to be guaranteed. I've got expenses, and, you know, I want to be guaranteed the $10,000. Well, after the collection was counted, guess how much was in the collection?
$10,000. More.
$17,000.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They paid him $10,000.
You want to guarantee? They guaranteed it. That's
they paid him $10,000. Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, Hal, I don't mean to put truth is truth, you know.
I'll tell you something. One time we had a ministry come through here, and we've had a lot of different ministries come through here over the years. And as far as I know of two that either gave the money back or that gave money to the church.
The
I only know of two. She was. I wasn't going to mention any names, but when she came, her husband, I was sitting in the front row with him when he was taking up the offering. Her husband, this was before, you know, before she actually spoke or anything. Her husband had checks, a checkbook that said tithes. That's what it said in the checkbook itself, tithes and offerings. And he gave us $100 that night. And her offering was $1,000, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it wasn't that big of a crowd. And then we had another ministry came through one time, and we had to take up an offering for them. And they came to me after church and said, I want to donate this bag to your ministry, and gave us a bag, you know.
Praise the Lord.
And, mm-hmm. You know, people say they've got a faith ministry by the time. Mm-hmm. But yet, if they start trying to beat you up to get your money, that's not a faith ministry. They're faithful. They have faith that they can wrangle it out of your pocket. But, you know. But
don't make me holler. Don't make me shout. Turn those pockets inside out.
I never heard that before.
Well, Clarice is coming in town. Did you all know that?
Oh, I've been wondering.
Yeah, she's coming in town. Julie and I, there's a guy from the Elijah list called John Belt that has written some articles. And Julie and I, on a Friday night, we went over to their little ministry. And so Clarice is coming to, it's not a woman's ministry. heard a woman did that, you know, for just women. But it's going to be Brandy Bell and Maurice Fluitt. And I'll get the date because we may want to get a hold of her and see if we could do, even if it's a Thursday night meeting or Wednesday night or what. I don't know what time that she's going to be, you know. I don't know if it's two days or what, but...
B-E-L-T?
B-E-L-T. Do you remember the name of their ministry? I can't remember, but I'll get all that. I'll get it all. I mean, if she's going to be available, we ought to try to get her up here if we can. They're charging $65 a head.
Yikes.
So, okay. Alrighty.
Does that include dinner?
Yeah, tell me about it.
They're at the Garden Hilton in Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Should
be right.
And the massage place.
What's that?
Dinner instead of a massage.
When you were talking about flying away, Hal Lindsey, I remember seeing a picture one time. It was, you know, like a picture in a book, and it was... all a picture of the horizon, and there were these clouds and feet hanging out of all the clouds, you know. And I was thinking, what in the world? I'll tell you what, why would they tell women to wear skirts? I don't know.
Well, I was just saying to Jim, I've seen several movies back in the day, you know, about
airplanes crashing in the mountains.
The people were gone, and their shoes and their clothes were neatly folded in a pile. It's like, why can't their clothes go with them?
Overflow ministry, overflow global is the word.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny because it's like, last time I checked, God is a God of order, not disorder. And again, if anybody believes the way the majority of the church believes in this rapture, I'm not here to take that away from you. If you believe that, that's fine, and praise the Lord.
But if you listen to Lynn Hiles and that guy that wrote John, whatever his name was, that wrote the book, and it's just so beautifully laid out in Daniel, and they show how in the New Testament it's all fulfilled. It's like, why do you just want to stay with the traditions of the elders?
You know? Well, you know, I mean, I wasn't going to get into any of this, but two men in a bed, one shall be taken, one will remain. Well, when God did the flood, did he take out the wicked, or did he leave the wicked?
No.
He took them out. And so he's taken the wickedness out of us. That's gone. It's going to go. And the only one left in the bed is going to be Jesus Christ in us, our hope of glory. Huh?
Place of rest.
Place of rest. And two off the mill grinding or whatever, you know.
Well, it's sort of like that old saying, you know, what it says in the Bible about, he told them that they would gag at a gnat but swallow a camel.
Yeah.
And people will believe some way out there story rather than they'll believe something that's the simple truth of God. You know,
like, is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? You know, I believe we've been in the tribulation for a while. You know, I don't believe it's some future event. I believe it's already going on.
I had a brother sit in a Sunday school class one time, and he says, and I'd never mentioned the rapture, period.
Right.
And I don't talk about it because
there's no need to.
Yeah, there's no need to. And his brother came up to me after Sunday school, and he says, you don't believe in the rapture, do you? I said, I only teach on the things that God has dealt with me about. I said, he's never dealt with me about a rapture, so I don't teach on the rapture, he does. And he says, well, listen to that. I said, well, I'll tell you what. How about I sit down with you sometime and you explain it all to me?
That's good. Never heard anymore about it.
You know. But all that pre-trib, post-trib, and all that stuff.
It just takes your eyes off, takes that single eye on Jesus and puts it somewhere where it doesn't belong. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be.
Just trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
It ain't no wonder that the world out there can't believe, because they've tried to make it so daggone complicated and put so many goofy things in there. And if you get it all back down to the basics, it's just like you say, just believe, follow the leading of the Spirit on a daily basis, ask God to lead you and guide you and direct you each day, and you do that, you'll be just fine.
That's right.
You'll be just fine.
And I mean, there's probably not a soul here that has not experienced a rapture, you know, being lifted. I mean, the clouds represent his glory. So I mean, you all have had that glorious moment with the Lord in his presence that you go, wow, that was awesome. You know, maybe you're reduced to tears and you just feel his presence so strong in your being that you go, I knew that was the Lord. That's the rapture right there, man.
I literally had an experience one time when I was a real young Christian where a prophetic brother told me, he said, the Lord wants you to get along with him. And he wants, you know, wants to deal with him. I said, okay. And I went home. And I went in my bedroom and I shut the door. And I just started praising the Lord, and I was laying on the bed, and I said, Lord, let me get lost in your praises. Mm-hmm. And I just kept praising the Lord, and I heard the most beautiful singing I'd ever heard in my life. It was just something that no choir could ever match it or anything else. And it was just, I believe it was just a heavenly host praising God.
Yep.
And then it was like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, rise and kill the fox. And I didn't know what he meant because I was still a pretty young Christian at that point. Rise and kill the fox. And I thought, what does that mean? But I'm going to tell you, after that experience there, before where it said, it feels like we're walking on air, the rest of that night after I came out of that room, I didn't even feel like my feet was on the ground. I mean, it was that euphoric feeling. The presence of the Lord was so strong in that room. And then I went to church, and I think it was the following week, and Brother Eddie preached a sermon on the little foxes that spoil the vine. And that's the way God does. He comes back. Because if you say, Lord, what are you showing me? What does this mean? A lot of times he'll come right back with somebody and have them either share a sermon or share something that'll explain it. And it's the little foxes. And what God was really saying when he's saying rise and kill a fox, he was saying, don't let the little things spoil the vine. Don't let the little things nip away at you and cause you to pull away and cause you to not be fruitful. It's not the big things usually that get you. It's the little stuff. It's the times that you let other things get put in front of God, and it's the times that you do that kind of stuff. And, but I'm telling you, like you said, we've probably all experienced it. I mean, when I was 15 years old, the Lord showed me standing behind a pulpit one night, and I hadn't even committed my life to the Lord at that point. I mean, and he basically, I did go to sleep that night because I was feeling under conviction, saying, Lord, I believe it. Why can't I serve you? And you know, he showed me exactly what I was doing. I mean, it was almost like it was a movie screen. He showed me everything I was doing that wasn't pleasing to him. But I hadn't really made a commitment to the Lord. I hadn't said, Lord, come into my life or any of those things. But he also showed me up standing behind a pulpit speaking. And I thought, man, that ain't never happened to me. I'm backward. But you know, God knows. And if he positions you and he gets you right where he wants you to be, you know. That's the thing about people thinking they have to do something to make things happen in God. All you got to do is what he tells you to do,
yes,
and move when he tells you to do something, and the rest of it will fall in place like it's supposed to. Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. I was hoping we'd get into 25, but we'll do that next week. We got 23, 24, but Lord's given us a bunch for 25, so we're going to talk a lot about the sea and the river, a lot. There's tons there, so. We'll go ahead on that next week, I guess. So.
Rich, we got a whole year to get out of this psalm, you know.
I was like, thinking, okay, well, we'll see what the Lord has in store. Praise the Lord. Kathy, you want to pray?
Pray, Lord. We can never understand. You are all in all. So we love you, Father, and we praise your name. We just want to glorify you with our hands. Become what you would have us to be, Father. Yes. We want to know as we are. Father, bless the services that go forward. Bless this day, Father. Let each and every one of us do what is pleasing in your sight this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, Clarice is coming in July, the 27th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Garden Hilton up